God doesn't have any grandchildren, Barbara.
That's right.
We talked about that in the first message.
That's one thing he doesn't have that some of us do have. We have grandchildren on this earth, but God doesn't really see us as grandchildren. As we said before, he sees us as his children. And
right. So well, in this message, we're talking about the rite of passage. When children pass from really being your child to being an adult to being that adult child,
mm-hmm.
and we've really given them roots so that they can have wings later on.
Yes, and I've got a sign right up on my kitchen wall in the kitchen, and every once in a while I have to remind myself, because we are parents of five adult children, Darren, and so many times when we feel like we need to give them advice or something, here comes that little sign. There are two things we give our children, and one, Barbara, is roots, and the other is wings to fly away.
Well, there's a legal term called emancipated children.
Yes, you were
saying that. Once they have been set free from the household. And when a young man marries, the word tells us he is to leave his mother and father. And this word leave is number 5800 in the Strong's Concordance. But it means to forsake, to abandon, to leave behind, or to omit.
Those are strong words.
Now, you know, this is so hard for parents, because we've loved these little ones many times. We've coddled them. We've held them on our laps. And all of a sudden, they're too big to hold on our lap.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been so responsible for them, or had to be, and to provide for them in every way. And that's what we're going to talk about in this message, is what happens now?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go once that rite of passage has taken place and they have hopefully developed roots and now they can fly away from home?
That's right. And in our first message, we were talking about a loving heart and an obedient heart, a disciplined heart, and a heart who fears the Lord. Now, this is something that we must teach our children as Christian parents. We must teach them to be disciplined, to be loving, to be obedient, and to fear the Lord. Because it says, Darren, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when a father raises a son to be wise with discretion, he has a wonderful son. He doesn't have to bail him out of jail anymore. He doesn't have to go get
anymore.
He
shouldn't have to be bailing him out of jail, but if he did,
yes.
You know, there's a time when what we need to do is say, am I giving my child the boundaries that they need? Do they know, as we spoke about in the first message, do they know that no means no?
Mm-hmm.
Have they developed some internal self-discipline? And I'd say this to you, parents and grandparents, have we given our children an opportunity to develop good habits of decision-making and responsibility? Now, we can't say, well, you know, when they get to be 18, or when they get to be 21, or when they get to be 16, they're going to have developed some internal discipline. Well, if we don't teach them how to make decisions and how to discipline themselves and allow them to fail once in a while, and
that
doesn't mean to destruction, but if they make a mistake, they need to live with the consequences.
That's right.
But too often we've got Dad over there with the Holy Ghost wrecker, so to speak, and he's going over and get them out of the ditch every time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we need to leave them in the ditch for a while.
That's right.
It's a great place to learn a great lesson.
We need to keep our checkbook in our pocket, our money in our billfold, and let them go through some of the hard knocks.
Have you always done that, Barbara?
No.
I haven't either.
But we have more and more since they have been married and they have their own spouses to depend on.
Right.
We have not opened our wallet and we have not written checks to them. And I think that's very important, to get them away from the financial stability of mom and dad and dependent on the other one, and not going running home to mom and dad every time something happens. That's so important.
You know, one of the greatest things that we can do for our children in helping them develop good deep roots is to show them early on that they need to pray and depend on God to meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to pray with your child that God will meet their needs and then Dad always writes a check or Mom always writes a check.
That's right.
We need to give them an opportunity to see that God is going to come through for them, mm-hmm. even before they leave the nest.
Oh, and Darren, that is so hard for a maternal or paternal type of instinct that says, I need to help them, because we've done that all their lives, but we have got to use that wonderful fruit of the Spirit, self-control, and let them go.
It works kind of this way. Mom cries and Dad writes the check.
Or
if Mom's the hard one and Dad's the softy, you know, it goes back and forth. It isn't always that Dad's the toughie and Mom's the one that cries. Sometimes it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's Dad saying, oh, just write them a check. Well, you can't always do that.
No. And sometimes it's an absolute sin to do that.
Right.
And when our children come into adulthood, Darren, we no longer take on the roles of guardian or governor or responsibility for the discipline. I'm sorry, my tongue is all tangled here. Or we're not responsible for the discipline of our children. We're not the controller of their lives any longer, but we take on a less prominent role of counselor when asked. I think sometimes we counsel too readily and too quickly, but most of all, we need to be a friend.
Well, at one point, we had the primary responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when they're young babies, we took on all the responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, we had to change their diapers, we had to feed them, we had to burp them, we had to do all those things. But you know, as they grow, those things are no longer something we have to do it all, and it's so good when they get potty trained. You know, some parents just say, I thought I'd never get that kid potty trained. Mm-hmm. Well, on and on, you know. But if we don't teach them those basic things as they're growing up, how can we trust them with a car when they're 16?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
How can we trust them when they leave home and maybe they go into one branches of the service? You know, if they go into the Air Force, the Army, or Navy, or whatever, if we haven't given them some guidelines, they're going to be out there on a base where there are all kinds of sinful presentations. Are they going to have learned some discipline?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to have to learn to say no and to be proud of themselves and to respect the family name? Well, they'll only learn to teach it to them.
That's right.
And you know, one of the things I see, Barbara, is that a husband's role in the home, I believe one of the primary things is to say, you will respect your mother. Mm-hmm. I believe one of the primary responsibilities of the mother is to say, you will respect your father. If we don't, in the home, take that responsibility, the child is going to grow up not respecting that parent.
That's right.
And that means, ultimately, they're not going to respect God.
And also, the parents need to teach that child, when they're telling them about respecting mom and dad, most of all, to respect God in the home. And I remember when my mom and dad had devotions, everybody gathered around to have devotions. There was not, oh, I've got too much homework. It was now. You can do your homework later. God is more important. And I was taught at a young age never to abbreviate God, never to use a small g God. And I know that seems really small and unimportant, but I'll tell you, it's been vital in my life. I've never abbreviated Holy Spirit or
you don't
Jesus.
Put H period, S period.
I never have, because it's been so important to me. They are important to me. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the most important things in my life. And I'll tell you, we need to teach our children. They should be the most important things in their life.
You know, one thing you said to me when we first got married is, Darren, I don't look to you ultimately as my source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if we teach children that, you know, God is our source, and God is the one that put me in position of authority over your life. And if I don't do a good job, I answer to God.
That's right.
Everybody answers to somebody.
Yes.
And I think when they get that chain of command, and later on when they leave the nest, it's going to be a chain of counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they get that straight, that one day you're going to be the mommy or you're going to be the daddy and you're going to be held responsible. So we're going to do our best to teach you while you're in our home, while you're still young.
That's right. And responsibility is so important. If we can give our children an identity, their own identity, Darren, not an identity from mom and dad, but their own developed, established identity when they leave the house, so they know, I am Susie, I'm not my mom and dad, or I am Tom, I am not my mom and dad. I am an individual who God created, and He loves me, not my mom and dad, He loves me. If we can get that identity established before they leave home, oh, what a tremendous step in adulthood into the rite of passage here.
Well, you know, when they're born, that umbilical cord is cut.
Oh, yeah.
But many of us parents become smothering moms and dads, and we want that umbilical cord to be well connected, because
yes,
we don't want
yes.
that child to ever forget us.
There is a lot of manipulation.
Yes, there
yes.
is, and the control of their lives. But, you know, one of the things I believe that we can give them as they leave the nest, we need to respect that son-in-law or that son to be the primary provider and not to emasculate them by our control mechanisms.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, and very difficult sometimes.
When they have a crisis, and they will have a crisis, and those folks, grandparents, parents, we're talking to adults here, those are learning opportunities. And we can't step in there always with our pain reliever, mm-hmm. our checkbook, or our counsel, or whatever. We need to let them hit the wall sometimes.
Yes.
And have them, what we've taught them is to reach out to God. Now, if we say to them, well, you know, God's going to take care of you, but we never give them a chance to experience that because we're so busy messing around, providing everything for mm-hmm. them, always preventing the pain. I believe that's one of the greatest sins we commit against our children and against the Most High God.
That's right. We have had some of our children come over to our house tearful. I mean, in tearful situations. And the best thing we can do as parents of adult children, Darren, is to pray for them, encourage them that God's going to take care of them, and let them go back. Boy, that is a struggle. I have ended up some days in tears myself in a pile on the floor saying, God, you got to take care of this child because you can almost become a nervous wreck. Being so concerned over them. But when you know God loves them and read Psalm 139 about fearfully and wonderfully made, He knew your children in the womb.
And how about Psalm 119, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. And Psalm 91. He gives His angels charge concerning you.
Yes.
And I believe that every child has an angel. In Matthew it says, the angel continually beholds the face of God, that angel that's looking after your child.
Yes.
Now, one of the reasons this is so important, this lesson is so important, it's kind of at the top of the pile, is when we demonstrate to our children that we don't believe that God's going to take care of them independent of us, mm-hmm. what are we saying to them? Oh, we've told you all your life, God's going to take care of you. We can depend on God.
But now we're in the middle of the mess.
And we can't stand back and say, now, you know, honey, God's going to take care of you. Let's pray.
Yes, let's pray.
And then we stand back and exercise our faith that
yes.
God of the heavens, God of the Bible, is going to take care of our crying, babbling brook there.
Yes.
You know, that's
distraught
a puddle of tears.
Child.
Oh, Daddy, help me, you know. Well, I think when we step back and we have to know, and I can tell you, Barbara, that's one of the greatest things I know, God's going to take care of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And when we step back, and it's such a joy when they call and say, Dad had a miracle.
Yes.
Mama had a miracle.
Oh,
do you
yes.
know what happened?
Oh, yes.
Then you can rejoice with them because they're growing up in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
They're beginning to stand on their own. I'll tell you, that's a great day when that happens.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's the same way in our Christian walk, Darren. We find that when we're weaned off the milk, our Father does not expect us to live off the milk all our lives. And there are a couple scriptures I just want to bring out that we have to grow up in the elementary things of life and taste the meat, you know, get into the real meat of life. In Ephesians 4:14, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all respects into Jesus, who is the head, even Christ. That's so important for us as Christians. If we learn this as Christians, it will be less of a problem with our children. We will know there's a day we've got to let them fly away. And we see this in Father God. He is letting us grow up into the meat of the Word. In Hebrews 4:13 and 14, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a but solid food is for the mature. And this word mature is 50-46. It means full grown, of full age, which is opposite from little children, fully completed, God's expectation of us. Do you know God has an expectation of you as His child, and He doesn't expect you to be on milk all your life, drinking out of a bottle? He expects you to be full grown, fully complete in Him, and not lacking morally, but complete in every way. These are the kind of people, Darren, that have their senses trained to discern good and evil. These are the kind of people that are going to go into true ministry for God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Well, you know, as our children grow up, they become our report card.
Yes, you've said that.
Everybody in the world gets to read it, and they
right.
know what kind of job we've done raising our kids. Now, let me say this. I recently had two situations, and it involves bailing somebody out of trouble. One was a waitress that was working in a restaurant, and the cook in this restaurant, whom she did not know well, got into trouble, and he needed $2,000 worth of bail money.
Oh.
So she, wanting to be helpful, she went down and she pledged, because she had good credit, she pledged $2,000 of bail to get this guy out of jail so he could come back and cook in this little restaurant. Well, then he jumped bail. Now, in other words, that bail was put up to say he will show up at court on a future date. He doesn't have to stay in jail until his court date came along. Well, this little gal was, I'm going to guess she's 21. I mean, she didn't know that co-signing for another person was wrong.
That's right.
Which basically putting up the bail is.
It really is wrong.
And she called me like 5 times a day on the office phone just crying, oh, Darren, something's got to happen. You know, I don't even remember what this guy looks like. And I've got his name and pray that they will find him or that he will turn himself in and so that I can't afford $2,000, Darren. You got to know that. Well, she'd put up the bail. She'd stepped in there, and she didn't know what she'd done was wrong. She thought she was doing him a favor, which she did. But you know that went the full course of that thing. He didn't show up at the trial, and she had to come up with the $2,000. Now, I was praying for her, and we were playing phone tag, but I'd pray for her. I said, you know, God's going to do a miracle for you here. Well, the miracle that she wanted, she didn't get. She wanted the man to either have enough respect for her to turn himself in, but he was too scared, and he said, hey, I've got a good deal going here. I'm going to jump bail and take off.
So and he didn't know her. She was nobody to him.
She was nobody.
That's right.
Well, now, at the end of the time, she had to come up with the $2,000 for the bail bondsman. All right? Now, here's what happened. I trusted God. She trusted God. And I listened to her voice print through this series of weeks. And some days she called me 5 times a day. She was so shook up. Oh, Darren, please pray. Please. I know God answers your prayers. Please pray. I'm in such a fix. Well, she got down to the end of time, and she was so desperate, she went to a man and asked if she could borrow money. And he loaned her money, but he said, I'm going to give you a job, and you're going to pay it off.
That's good.
Well, now that was God's miracle in a little different way. Now I'm going to tell you another story about someone that stepped in to provide bail, and a grandmother that I know fairly well. And grandson was in trouble, and he called, and old grandma, I'm in trouble, and they're not being fair to me here in this jail. And now this kid had been doing drugs, and he'd been doing a bunch of stuff he shouldn't have done. He wasn't respecting the God of the grandmother.
That's right.
And I've talked to this kid, and I've prayed for this kid, and I've ministered to this kid. Well, grandma, in a weakened moment, pledged some property. It happened to be she had to put up $50,000 bail. Well, she didn't call me and say, Darren, should I do this? She told me after the fact. In my heart, I said, oh, grandma, how stupid could you be? This kid's on drugs. He's not thinking straight. Mm-hmm. You can kiss the $50,000 goodbye. They're going to take that piece of property. But Holy Spirit stepped in and says, you pray for a miracle for this grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I put my faith with hers, and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And almost at the end of this time period, when the kid was supposed to go to court,
he had run away, and there was less than a week to find him before she had to hand that over.
But you know, Holy Spirit intervened, and the kid was caught by the police. Mm-hmm. And so he will be showing up for his court appointment, and her property was released.
Oh.
But it was a $50,000 judgment against this kid. You see, grandma stepped in there and delayed God's lesson in this kid's life.
That's right.
Now, yes, we don't like to see our kids go to jail or our grandkids go to jail. We don't know what all goes in there, but I'll tell you, God can protect them in jail as much as he can on the streets.
Oh, and Darren, I've heard of a lot of men and women finding the Lord in
Amen.
Jail when they never Amen. Would have. And they do have to go off. If they are on drugs, they don't get drugs in there. I mean, you know, some of them are snuck in, but they don't get
right.
drugs usually.
Right.
So they have to go off of drugs. And they get
or
cleaned
off of alcohol.
Up. Yeah, they get cleaned up in a way in there.
And I want to say, sometimes we step in, and this is one of the grievous things we parents and grandparents do. And I'll tell you, I'm sure God hates it. We step in when God's got a program for that kid. He said, oh, finally, you're going to hit the wall. You're going to be in a position where you're going to have to cry out to me and I can talk to you. And we get in there and we mess up God's plan. Now, God didn't put that kid on drugs.
No.
But it may be that the kid has to go to jail if that's the path he's chosen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great place for them to cry out to God. I mean, in most jails, you can get a Bible. And you see what I'm saying? We're not to be the bail bondsman every time our kid
That's
gets
right.
it. I don't care if it's $100 or $100,000 or $50,000 or whatever it is. We need to trust God to be God in their lives and in that circumstance.
That's right. We see a lot of stories in the Old Testament, Darren, where sons and daughters
Amen.
Got into situations where only God could bail them out. And some of them didn't see their mothers and fathers at all, ever after the incidents happened. And for example, Cain and Abel, they must have been taught by their mother and dad well, because they both brought offerings, although Cain brought his offering, his leftovers, to God, and it did not please God.
But you know, I believe they saw their parents bringing offerings to God.
That's right. And so they were taught well, but Cain had a rebellious, evil spirit. And when he killed his brother Abel, God gave him an order to wander the earth. And he settled far away in the country of Nod, away from his mom and dad. He never saw them again. Abraham, he was told by God to leave his family and go to the promised land. And he didn't leave it. His father went along with him as far as Haran, and he died there because God wanted Abraham to go free from any kind of family advice or counsel or negative.
The word is interference.
Interference, yes. And sometimes we do, oh, honey, you don't want to move to Alaska. No, you want to stay here. You know, we are those kind of parents. Well, we want to keep them around.
Well, our emotional side rules. Instead of listening to our spirits and say, God, are you in this? And you know something, even if it isn't God's plan for there to move to Timbuktu or to Australia or wherever mm-hmm. they're going, God is there. Mm-hmm. We've got to know that. God is there. And God may be allowing their stiff-neckedness, which he did in my life and almost every person's life that I know of. We had to have a chance to go out there and do our thing. And we learned a lot by doing our thing. And yet sometimes we don't want our children to have that opportunity.
That's right.
And so we get in there and we mess things up. But, you know, when Abraham, the friend of God, left his native country to go to Canaan, his father died. And that, I believe, released him then to really listen to God.
That's right.
I think that's a very, very important thing.
Now, in Genesis 26, we saw Esau as a 40-year-old who was still living with his mom and dad, and he was a troublemaker to them. He never learned godly ways. He sold his birthright, his firstborn birthright, his inheritance, Darren, for a silly bowl of porridge. He said he was going to die if he didn't have something to eat.
Well, for his flesh.
Yes, his lust.
In other words,
lust. Yes.
The voice of the flesh was so strong that he sold his spiritual birthright.
That's right.
Which would have provided for his flesh very well.
That's right. And so he, in spite of all that was going on, he married two Hittite women who were foreigners who did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he caused his mom and dad, and it says in the Bible, nothing but grief. That's what he caused his mom and dad. Now, when Jacob...
And that story is in Genesis 26.
26, yes. And Jacob, when he did receive this birthright by deception of a sort, but it was in God's divine plan because Esau did not have a heart for this birthright. It was Jacob who did. And we see that when he left, he never saw his mom again. I don't know if he saw... I don't believe he saw his dad either, but his mom he did not see.
Okay, now, what did his mother say that caused her to take on such a grievous penalty?
Well, Jacob was a little hesitant about doing what she had planned to do in making the father, Isaac, believe that he was Esau to go get his blessing. And we need to talk about the blessing, too. But... he said, oh, Mom, I don't think we should do this. And she said, this curse be upon me.
And it was.
Oh, it was a curse. And it was upon her. She never saw her son again.
You know, I think what we're talking about here is a short-term reward and a long-term loss. And, you know, sometimes that is the difference between those that make it in this culture and those that don't make it. They want to be gratified immediately. They don't want to deny temporary gratification for long-term gain. Mm-hmm. That's what happened here in the case of this mother and the son.
That's right. Now, Jacob, Rebecca knew that the blessing from the father was so important, Darren. And it really is. I believe as fathers, and those of you who are listening who are fathers, you need to put a blessing on your children. As they get to that age, when they know right from wrong, and we say around 11, 12, 13 is that age when they are responsible for their own actions. And we even have courts of law that are deciding that teenagers that commit great crimes are going to be tried as adults because there is an age here, 12, 13, that they know what they're doing.
Well, I believe they know much younger than that.
True,
we're talking here about an age of accountability.
Yes, we're talking, though, about how the Jewish boys went through a bar mitzvah, a rite of passage of such. And the most important thing the father can do The most important thing you fathers can do is bless your children. And that blessing can be, I bless you, Johnny, in the name of God, to be a success in life and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart. It can just be as simple as that. Or you can use Numbers 6:24-26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. If you don't know any other blessing, take Numbers 6:24-26, and when your kids leave the house, put your hands on their shoulders and bless them in the name of the Lord. I'll tell you, they fought for it in the Old Testament.
Well, I would say this. If you really want to put a blessing on your child, and I have to tell you, I did this for my two sons.
Yes.
And they are gainfully employed. They never come home to dad for money.
Very successful.
You know, they're very successful and very stable. But I would take and teach them about the covenant that we have, the Abrahamic covenant that's ours through Jesus. And I would take the first 14 verses of the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, and I'd read it, and I'd pronounce this blessing over their life.
That's good, yes.
One thing it says, the Lord will command the blessing upon you and your barns, all that you put your hand to. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. I've seen my sons unusually protected in private sector, in the Air Force. One of them works for a large builder. One is in the Air Force in a very strategic position in Stratcom. But that blessing came from Dad. He put a substance on those boys, and it was done in the name of Jesus by power of Holy Spirit, and it stays there.
It
works for them, not against them. Now, sometimes we've cursed our children. Don't curse your kids.
Amen.
If you curse them, break the curse, ask God to forgive you, and go on.
That's right. And anything can be forgiven except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. So you know if you do wrong and you curse your child, go to them, apologize, and ask God's forgiveness, and he will forgive you. He's that kind of God. He's a faithful God. You know, you were just talking about the father being the teacher and disciplinarian and the one who blesses. And Darren, there's a scripture in Proverbs 23.
Well, let me tell you why I believe that works, Barbara. There is a blessing on an office, on a position.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, that inherently goes with that office of father. There is a power that goes with that. That's why that blessing works.
Mm-hmm.
God set a spiritual mechanism in place in the spirit world, and when the father blesses that son or that daughter, that blessing is going to stay there, and it will work for them even after the father is dead.
Well, and it's also the word. The word says, and it's the fifth commandment in the Old Testament, honor your father and your mother, that the days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God gives to you. We've got to honor father and mother. Even though we don't understand them sometimes, we must honor them.
Or agree with them.
And in Proverbs 23:22, it says, listen to the father who begot you. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding from him. This is the role of the father in the family. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding for that adulthood. That's very important. And that's putting an awful lot on dad, but I think dads can take it. I really believe the Lord wouldn't have given dads those responsibilities if they couldn't do it. And I believe the father has that responsibility of the blessing. There are a couple in the Old Testament whose parents were doting, and Darren, it just led to almost absolute ruin and destruction. And one was Samson.
Now we're talking about Samson in Judges 14. And
yes.
Now here is a story of compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us parents have compromised our integrity, and these parents compromised what they knew to be right.
That's right. And when he wanted a foreign wife, they came against him, but they did not say no. And they went and got this wife for him who was foreign. And
That was God's plan, that they didn't intermarry with foreign wives.
That's right.
And so when they asked for a foreign wife, the parents gave in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just tell you, it is such a sad thing what happened to Samson here.
Yes.
Because there was an anointing on his life, a spirit of might on his life, and also a gift of faith.
That's right.
Was on his life.
What they did was they gave him everything he wanted. They hadn't had a child, so here comes Samson, and he got everything he ever asked for or wanted.
They were doting parents.
That's right.
They were doting parents to his destruction.
Although God worked it out for the very best at the end, but I'll tell you, he didn't have to go through what he did.
You know, sometimes God has to be super creative to straighten out our messes.
<Get in there. laughs> That's right.
Well, I want you to advance the tape, and we'll begin on side two, and we'll carry this lesson. It's going to be a real blessing to you.